Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "See, my master has spared this Naaman the Syrian in not accepting from his hand what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi followed Naaman, and when Naaman saw someone running after him, he alighted from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me to say, there have just now come to me from the hill country of Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Pray, give them a talent of silver and two festal garments." And Naaman said, "Be pleased to accept two talents." And he urged him and tied up two talents of silver in two bags with two festal garments. And he laid them upon two of his servants, and they carried them before Gehazi. And when he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and put them in the house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. He went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." But he said to him, "Did I not go with you in spirit when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, amen. There was a preacher who was young, straight out of seminary. He had a whole bunch of book smarts. So he gets assigned to an older congregation, and he goes there early on the Sunday morning, and he's going to whoop this older church into shape. He gets there, and the first thing he notices as he pulls up is there's a great big tree right in front of the stained glass window. He says, "That doesn't make sense." Gets in the trunk and pulls out an axe, and whoop, 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 chops down the tree. It's outside for the congregation to arrive. The congregation arrives, and everyone stands there in shock and anger. No one says a word until someone just points to a sign that the young preacher had missed. And the young sign said, "This tree was planted by our founding pastor on his very first Sunday." There'll be some times in our lives where God will place something in front of us that to us just doesn't make any sense. And there'll be times when God asks us to do something and that either comes through his word or through the message or through his Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, later on, it'll make sense. And then we can either be like, "Oh yes, now I see it, now it makes sense, now I understand it," and be glad, or be like that young pastor, and it finally makes sense why, and we can be sad because we chose the wrong way. I said this last week, a God is reasonable, and God never asks us to do something that doesn't make sense from his perspective. But the challenge is that God doesn't always let us see from his perspective. God doesn't always tell us why. And the reason we talked about last week was this, is that God wants us to trust more in him than we do in the why. God wants us to trust more in him than we trust in the why. We began by looking at Proverbs 3, verse 5, and it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding," right? And last week we talked about Naaman, and Naaman was from the Syrian army. He was the second in command. Great guy. He had one problem. What was his problem? Anybody remember? He had a disease called leprosy. That's right, skin-eating disease. And even though Syria at that time was the enemy of Israel, they'd come and raided the people, raided their property, stole from them. Still, Naaman goes to Israel, and he goes to the prophet Elijah to be healed. And Elijah asks him to do something very strange. Elijah asks him to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River, right? And to Naaman, it didn't make any sense at all. My problem isn't hygiene. My problem is leprosy. My problem isn't that I don't have clean water. We got cleaner water back in Syria where I'm from. It doesn't make any sense. One of his men says, what do you got to lose? Naaman, just try it. Naaman, in obedience, goes into the water, dips 7 times, and all of a sudden, what happens? He's healed, and he never mentions the problem of leprosy again. Instead, he comes out of the water, and he says, now I know that there is no other God. And here's the second thing that I think is a reason why God doesn't always tell us why. Sometimes God is doing something bigger than we understand. God is doing something bigger than we understand. See, Naaman was coming, and Naaman just wanted his leprosy to be changed. But God had something bigger. God wanted Naaman to be changed. And today I want to talk about a second character in the story of Naaman. And maybe you've never heard of this guy. His name is Gehazi. Gehazi is the servant of the prophet Elijah. And he's behind the scenes seeing everything that happens, right? Everything that happens, he sees how Naaman comes. And Naaman doesn't just come by himself. He comes with horses and chariots, and he comes with a big treasure chest. And remember last week we said it had 6 talons of silver in there. It had thousands of shekels of gold, fancy festive garments. Gehazi is looking at all this stuff that Naaman brings, and he's thinking to himself, this is the day, this is the day that the... He's excited, he's happy because he's poor, right? He's poor because he's the servant of Elijah, and if Elijah's a prophet, he's even poor. And so in his mind, he's thinking, oh, I'm going to do all of these things with this. And he's thinking of all of the stuff that he's going to buy. And he's thinking everything is going to be great. But then here's what happens. It says in 2 Kings 5:15 and 16, then he, that's Naaman, returned to the man of God, that's Elijah, and all of his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel, so accept now a present from your servant. Here's a treasure chest, the talons of silver, the shekels of gold, and all of this. Here, accept it all. But he, that's Elijah, said, as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will receive what? None. And he, that's Naaman, urged him to take it, but Elijah refused. Now, Gehazi is in the back, right, looking through the door. And the whole time he's like this. Oh, ah, ah. Can't you see it? He's like, what is he thinking? That's Naaman. That's the guy who's in charge of the army. And Elijah, have you forgotten what that army does? They sneak into Israel every year, and they raid us, and they take our livestock, and they take our possessions, and our product, and our grain, and they take our people, and they run off, and they steal from us. And now this guy's come, and you've healed him, you changed his whole world, and he's offering you probably the treasures which he took from us. He's offering us our own money back, and you're not going to take it? I'm sorry, Elijah, but that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. What in the world are you thinking? So here's what happened. Gehazi, he comes up with an alternate plan, right? You ever done that? God tells you to do something else, and you're not going to, I'm not going to rebel against God. I would never do that. I'm just going to go a little different way. I'm going to go off the highway here. I'm going to take this exit. I'm going to do it a little bit differently, Lord. But, you know, it's still going to be all right. God, I don't need to break up with this person. I mean, have you ever thought about this? What if I stay with this person and I'm able to lead them to the Lord? Huh? You ever thought about that, God? Doesn't that make more sense? Oh, wait a minute. God, I shouldn't stay in this marriage, God. I know you want me to, but no, I could leave them, and then I could go start a whole nother family, and then I'll bring up this family to love and serve you, and this time we'll do everything right. Doesn't that sound better, God? You ever thought about that, God, huh? Okay, God, I know this job isn't strictly legal, okay? I know I shouldn't be doing this, but what if I stay and continue to do this and I make money and so then I give more money to the church? Ever thought about that, God? Huh? See? As if we're going to try and teach God something, right? As if we've got a better plan than what God has. I'm going to say this. Our alternate plan will always seem better on paper than God's plan. But can I tell you something? God's plan is always going to be the best for us. Always, always, always. Our plan will lead to destruction and God's will lead to blessings. So Gehazi decides that he's going to go with his own plan. He's come up with his own idea. And in his mind, he's not rebelling against God. He's just going a little bit of a different way. So this is what he says in 2 Kings 5:20. He says what? As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something from him. So I like this part. He's like this. He's like, well, praise the Lord. I'm going to go over here and do this as if by invoking the name of God, he's really doing something, right? Well, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm gonna go and do this. And in his mind, he's thinking, well, you know what, I'm not rebelling, this is all good. And really, he's knowing that he's going to do the wrong thing. He's thinking, I'm not the bad guy, I'm the good guy. I'm doing the Lord's work here. I'm just doing it another way. Elijah will thank me later when he sees all the good we can do with this money, that I didn't let it slip through my hands. We can build better roads. People can come to worship. We can clean up the Jordan River with all of this money. It's a great idea. They'll understand later. And so here's what happens. It says this in the scripture. It says, so Gehazi follows Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he alighted from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And Gehazi said, all is well. My master, Elijah, has sent me to say, there have just now come to me from the hill country of Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Now this is all a what? Is that true? No, this is all a lie. He goes on to say, pray give them a talent of silver and two festive garments. And Naaman said, please accept the two talents. I was going to give you the whole thing. Take as much as you want. And he urged him, and he tied up two talents of silvers in two bags and with two festival garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they carried them before Gehazi. And then when he came to the hill, now this is important. There's a hill, right? When he came to the hill, he took them from their hands. He snuck them into the house, sent the men away, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. Why does he stop at the hill? Because if he has them carrying it all the way in, he's going to get caught, right? So he knows. He knows no matter what he says, oh, for the love of God, or help me, Jesus. Or he knows deep down. He can say whatever he wants to, however he wants to sugarcoat this. He knows he's doing wrong. So he sneaks it in, and he's thinking to himself, I saved the day. Here's what Elijah says to him. Elijah says to him, where have you been? And he said, your servant went what? Nowhere. Now, come on. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm like, that doesn't even sound right, does it? Your servant went nowhere. Right? And here's what I'm thinking. From our perspective, when we read this, how much sense does it make for Gehazi to lie to the prophet who can tell a man, go and dip in the Jordan River seven times and be healed, right? He thought he was really going to get away with something? Come on, right? And then, though, hold on, because in the same moment that I'm thinking that about Gehazi, I have to stop and think about my own self and say, how smart is it for Joe Johnson to think that he's got an alternate plan better than God's plan, right? How is he going to think that he knows better than God, who knows everything about him, and God who loves him, and God tells him to do something, and yet he's going to change the plan? How smart is that, right? From our perspective, we're looking at Gehazi thinking, how did he think he was going to get away with this? He's not too bright. And from the perspective of the angels in heaven, they're looking down at us and saying, they're just not too bright. Well, what did they think was going to happen? Have you ever watched a movie, and in the movie, the music changes? Huh? Da-na, 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 da-na. Right? And so we're like, oh, no. And the little girl in the movie says, I think I'm going to go for a Swim. Right? And what do we say? No, it's obvious. Don't get in the water. Or else you're watching a movie and the power goes out in the house, right? And it's nighttime and the music says, and the guy says, well, I think I'll leave you guys right here and I'll go check that out, right? I'll be right back. And the minute he says it, everybody in the theater is saying, what? Don't do it. It doesn't make sense. Stop. It's obvious to all of us. And yet, it's not obvious to us when we're in the midst of it in our own lives. And God is saying, do this. And we hear it and we know it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Am I communicating with you? You know that God told you to do this, right? You try to put on music. You try to do a whole bunch of other stuff so you don't have to listen to it. But deep down inside, you know what God is saying. And we don't obey. And in our own minds, we're thinking that it makes sense when it doesn't. So here's what happens. And the scripture says this. But this is Elijah, says to Gehazi, did I not go with you in your spirit when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? And the moment he says that, what is Gehazi like? That moment, what's he like? He's deflated, right? He just went from, I saved the day, I'm the hero, I got this money, slid away, all of a sudden to, I'm caught. And then he asks this question. Was it a time to accept money and garments, olive orchards and vineyards, sheep and oxen, manservants and maidservants, that whole list, the whole laundry list of stuff he was going to buy with that stuff. Is this the time? And the key there is this. Was this the time? Because ultimately, you're thinking that I, Elijah, did something to heal this man. When in fact, it wasn't me, and Gehazi, it certainly wasn't you. Who was it that did the healing? It was God. And if God was the one who did it, why should we, at this time, take the money so that the focus is now on us? We miss the complete blessing when we take from God the credit that goes to God. When we take from God the focus that goes to God. When instead of it being glory to God, it's look at me and give to me. We messed up the whole plan. Gehazi, can't you see? And all of a sudden, Gehazi's like this. He's like, oh. Now I get it. Now I understand. Hold on, it's not the end of it. Verse 27, he says, Elijah says, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall what? Cleave to you and your descendants forever. And so he went from his presence a leper as white as snow. So Gehazi leaves the presence of Elijah as a leper, but guess what? He also leaves understanding. Now I know. Now I get it. It didn't make sense earlier. But now I understand. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of times in our lives where we're going to be like that. We're going to be like, it didn't make any kind of sense at all. And then sometimes we get to be like Naaman, we get the choice all the time. There are sometimes we're like Naaman and we're like, I didn't understand, but I did it anyway. And I'm so glad I did because it changed everything. Huh? And that changing everything was not just my leprosy. It was now I know there is a God. And then there are other times, unfortunately, when we're like, now I get it. And we're like, Gehazi. We're like, it didn't make any sense to me. And so I didn't do what I knew I should have done. I did the very opposite. And now my eyes are open. Now I see. Oh, I wish I hadn't. Because it's changed absolutely everything. Sometimes our obedience or disobedience, we don't know what's behind that door. We don't know the ramifications. We don't know how much this is going to change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our descendants and others. And we might be standing at the threshold of an incredible blessing, and God is saying, go this way, and our decision not to could change so much. We don't even realize it. Can I say something? I truly believe we are living in a time of grace. and a time of God's love and mercy where, you know, it's not like every time that you rebel or every time that you say no to God that we get struck down with leprosy or we have some huge, thunderous consequence to it. I believe that we are in a time of grace. I believe that God's love is enduring and his patience is long-suffering, and yet there comes an end even to the patience of God. And yet there comes a time when we must pay the consequences of our sins. There's going to come a time when there's going to be that understanding. And here's the way the Bible says it. You know, it's talking about the end times. It says this in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Bow, of those who are in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, what does that mean? At the end time, everyone who's alive, everyone who's ever been alive, is all going to get it at the exact same time. We're all going to come to an understanding. Oh, now I understand. Now I see Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's going to be some who'll be like, wow, even though I didn't understand, man, I'm so glad that I obeyed. And there's going to be others that are just like, you know what? I am so sad that I didn't do what I felt like God was calling me to do. Because now I understand. There was a preacher straight out of seminary. First church, very first Sunday. He's going to go and whoop this church into shape. He gets there and there's a big tree right in front of the stained glass window. He says, this doesn't make sense. Takes out his axe and cuts it down. The people come and they're just standing there in shock. And in anger, and someone points to a sign, and the preacher bends down and he reads the sign and it says, this tree was planted by our founding pastor on his very first Sunday. Well, guess what? The very next day, there was a brand new sign. And the brand new sign said, this tree was cut down by our most recent pastor on his very last Sunday. One day, it's all going to make sense to us. But don't wait. Don't wait until it all makes sense. Listen to the Spirit of God as he calls and leads and guides you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen.